Okay, yes. I'm Sheila Christopher. I'm currently at the Virginia Water Resources Research Center in Virginia Tech. And my collaborators on this particular project are Myron Mitchell. He's at SUNY Environmental Science and Forestry, as well as Sriram Inamdar at the University of Delaware. So today we're going to take you up to Buffalo, where we get a lot of snow, so we're switching gears a little bit here. And I want to thank the committee members for allowing me to talk here today. I think we've had a really great set of talks that are really diverse. So I'll talk briefly about the nitrogen problem. I think that's been covered by Pam and others. I'll put that in the context of winter processes and climate change and how it affects nitrogen dynamics. And then I'll talk about a little case study up in Buffalo. So, as we all know, I think I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but since the pre-industrial period, global nitrogen deposition has increased substantially. And just to give you an example, if you look at the northeastern United States, it's increased 5 to 10 times. And if we look at a graph of nitrogen deposition versus stream chemistry, you can see that these are the watersheds in the northeastern United States, that as you increase N deposition, it can only explain about 38% of the variability in stream chemistry, or stream nitrate, I should say. And so this means that there's other factors controlling the variability of stream nitrate. And one of these factors could be soil freezing. Now, there's a lot of other factors, but we won't talk about that today. So global circulation models have predicted that we're going to get more precipitation in winter, but it's going to be in the form of rain rather than snow. And snow acts as an insulator of soils, so if you have a lot of snow, your soils stay nice and warm, but if you have a small snowpack, your soils have potential to freeze. And what happens during freezing and then thawing is that you get an increase in fine root mortality, and this can result in the release of labile forms of carbon and nitrogen. And this provides food, if you will, for nitrifiers, so you might get an increase in nitrification. Well, you also might get a decrease in N uptake because of the fine root mortality. And this is kind of what they saw at Hubbard Brook, the snow manipulation study, if you're familiar with that. And both of these result in an increase of leaching of mobile nitrogen forms, and most notably is nitrate. So the Point Peterbrook watershed in it's south of Buffalo, it's called Gowanda, New York. It's located in the snow belt, and it receives lake effect snow from Lake Erie. So if you look at a weather map in the winter, you see lots of white around here all the time. And this is the Point Peterbrook watershed near Buffalo. So if we look at a graph of stream nitrate flux on the left y-axis here, and this as a percent of the total annual flux, you can see that during spring snow melt, 50% of the annual nitrate flux is coming out of Point Peterbrook, if you compare that to the other seasons of the year. And so what are these nitrate sources in this watershed? Well, if we look at the watershed compartments, we've got groundwater, seepwater, zero-tension soil water, also these tension soil waters at 30 and 50, 15 centimeters, deciduous throughfall, coniferous throughfall, bulk precipitation, and snow. You can see that the highest nitrate concentrations are in this seep groundwater, coniferous throughfall, and 15-centimeter soil. And all of these nitrate sources are getting to the stream, and that's another talk, but. So my objectives were to ask, how do changes in snowpack and soil freezing regimes affect the soil nitrate source to stream flow? And how do changes in snowpack and soil freezing regimes affect soil mineralization and nitrification? And what is the effect of soil freezing on soil extractable nitrate? And this is Myron here and me looking at a soil pit. So we did this berry bag and snow manipulation study. At least the snow manipulation part was during winter. And we looked at six incubations. Winter one was November to January, winter two, November to February, winter three, November to April, and then we did a spring, a summer, and a fall incubation. Excuse me a minute. And we collected 10 samples, 5-centimeter samples, mixed them and buried them at three depths, 30 centimeters, 5 centimeters, and at the surface. And we removed snow from five of those locations and left snow on the other five using shovels, basically. So if you look at this graph, the top panel is air temperature, the middle is snow depth, and the bottom is frost. The snow came in December. It ranged between, let's say, 5 and 15 centimeters until about March. We had a complete thaw in early January where the snow disappeared, and then we got dumped on in March, and the highest snowpack was about 30 centimeters, and it disappeared in early April. For soil frost, the snow plots had relatively less soil freezing, and the snow-free plots had marked soil freezing in February and March, and it reached a point of about 10 centimeters. Now this is a graph looking at just the surface soil because that's where we saw the most marked treatment effects. The top panel is the first winter incubation, the middle is the second, and the lower is the full winter incubation. If we look at the snow versus the no snow plots or snow-free plots, mineralization is significantly higher in the snow-free versus the snow plots at all incubations, and the same is true for nitrification. Let's focus on nitrification now. If we look at the data in a different way, this is the same surface soil in the three incubations. Again, you see the nitrification is higher in the snow-free versus the snow plots. Well, we collected soil samples independently to look at extractable nitrate concentrations, and you can see that it's higher in the snow-free versus snow plots here in yellow, or whatever that color is on this screen. The nitrate disappears in January, and I'm not exactly sure why, but I can speculate that this is when the thaw occurred, so perhaps that's increased denitrification or a flushing of that nitrate from the soil. Now, if we look at the six incubations, and now we're looking at the below ground soil in the 5 and 30 centimeter soil, and you can see that nitrification is higher in the snow-free versus snow plots at all during all of the incubations. Of course, it's only significant at the full winter incubation, the spring and the summer, but that was pretty interesting. And then if we again look at the extractable nitrate concentration in those independently collected soil samples, before the manipulation, extractable nitrate concentration is very similar, and then we have that manipulation, and then the disappearance of nitrate, and then those two winter samples. And then check this out, in the summer and in the fall, the extractable nitrate concentration is still higher, so could this be a legacy effect? I don't know. So, just from my little case study here, soil freezing seems to influence soil nitrogen cycling and leaching, at least in this Point Peter Brook watershed. Soil freezing is likely to become common as more snowpacks develop later and melt occurs earlier. So, you know, freeze frequency should be considered when you're evaluating nitrogen cycling and transport in catchments that have the potential to have soil freezing. And I have a lot of people to thank. My funding was came from Buffalo State College. I've had research support from the VWRRC at Virginia Tech, and numerous people helped me in the field, and most of these people are actually family members. So thank you. I really don't know. I'd like to talk to Peter more about that, because we both have, I believe, spodosols, and I had less plots than he did too. So I don't know. It's a good question.
You don't have pre-treatment data, do you? When you say they're different after the treatment, we don't have pre-treatment before.
I just have that one November point of extractable nitrate concentration. It was very close. That's really all I have. And I had a whole other year of data, but I don't like it as much. I moved the plots the next year, so, yeah.
What did you not like that you found?
I think the plots were inherently different. To start with, and so it was kind of like comparing apples and oranges. So I might not use those data in my publication.
What mechanism would you propose for that legacy effect you observed of consistently lower extractable soil nitrate throughout the fall and summer?
I think it might be the microbial population, though I don't have any supportive data for that, but perhaps they're changing or they're, you know, that's what I think, because I think the roots would have come back, right, in the spring and the summer. So that's the only thing it could be, is the microbial population and the nitrifiers themselves. It could be. That's one area that I honestly don't have any expertise in, but that could be, sure, another mechanism.